Buccaneers fans, here we are live from Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, the flagship location. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage, we have been sitting here at Big Storm on the covered patio. It's like 100 degrees out, and we're comfortable as hell. We've literally been here for 2 hours eating and drinking after the opening training camp practice. That's how great it is here at this amazing setup, Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. I'm drinking a Sunny Key Lime. You had a Bay Beer. Lee DeCamper's here from JoeBucksFan.com. He had a Bay Beer, and we are fired up after this amazing meal. Ira, this is like a holiday. Training camp kicked off. We're still all fans of the game. We love the game. We love the smell of the grass and the body odor of the fans at training camp and watching those players come out and seeing the rookies get all tense, like we saw from Jalen Darden a little bit, Ira. But we're fired up for this podcast, which is all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, 61 years, right there in Tampa, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. 61 years family owned, Ira. That means something. That means that you bought your first car there when they opened their doors on the first day. That means that fans can go there and trust that the Curry family is in charge. Generations. And our buddy GM Sean Sullivan, who takes care of all of us, he's there to take care of fans personally. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, and start shopping. Email Sean, reach out to him, get that Ira Kaufman discount, get help, guidance. Even if you're not buying for 3 months, yeah, it's okay to ask Sean questions, Ira. Your cherry red Ford Escape is out here in the parking lot. We're ready to talk some Bucks. Sage, the floor is yours. Your impressions from opening day, Buccaneers training camp 2021.
This is turning into one hell of a day over here, Isbits. We had opening day. It was my first COVID test. I walked in with all kinds of trepidation. They're going to stick that thing up. It's going to go into your cranium. The thing was over in about 10 seconds. And I guess I passed the audition because I never heard that I was positive. And I stayed out there all day. I had a nice chat with Ryan Jensen. That's going to inform my column later in the week. And you know, I have a preference for offensive linemen, Steve. Lee always picks it up, points it out. Ira, you're always talking to offensive linemen. Damar Dotson, whatever. Well, you know what? These guys are sharp. They're smart. Then we go to Big Storm. Steve, I'm back at my old stomping grounds. This is where I was for every Buck Road game. This is where I'm going to be for every Buck Road game. I just knocked off the Mahi Mahi Tacos with my Bay Beer. Outstanding. First time I had it, I was going to get the grouper sandwich. Was then persuaded to get the Mahi Tacos. As far as practice is concerned, in the words of DeKemper, we don't want to read anything into underwear football. I will say I was struck by the tone that was set by Bruce Arians, and it took all of 3 seconds. 3 seconds. He decided to make an opening statement. Bruce Arians doesn't make opening statements. He wants to make an opening statement. Don't ask me. Those were his first three words. Don't ask me. I said, oh, boy, this is going to be great. And he probably meant Cameron Brate, and don't ask me about Brady's knee, and don't ask about this guy. And Steve, I think it's all part of a master plan. And we have to be ready for it, and Buck fans have to also, because, Steve, he's scared to death about two things. Three things. I'll list them in order. An injury to Brady.
Roy Cummings?
Number one. How many times are you going to throw his name out there? An injury to Brady. Two, a COVID outbreak. Three, complacency. Complacency. And today he addressed complacency, and he's going to be tough on these guys, and I don't think he's fooling around, Steve. I thought it was a pretty crisp practice for a first practice, but you're not going to hear Bruce Arians say anything complimentary, Steve. You're going to have to pull it out of him, even with individual players, because he wants them to know big brother's watching, big uncle's watching, and don't get a swollen head. So I think he set a tone today, Steve.
I agree with you, Ira. Lee, I don't know. I don't know if I can buy what Ira's selling here, because he's saying that Arians isn't going to want to be complimentary. I thought he was a little complimentary. He did say that, not overly complimentary, but he did say that they finished up 27 minutes early because the pace was crisp. And while they need to learn how to finish practice a little bit better, he loved the tempo and the energy. He also said that he liked the first half of practice, yet they wanted to finish. You know, he wanted them to finish a little bit better.
Well, he complimented Joe Tryon. I mean, he could have been the first. Here's the thing. The first thing Arian says is, don't ask me this, don't ask me that. Okay, Bruce, you're putting on a show. Very first thing that went through my mind, he's putting on a show. Putting on a show for his players, putting on a show for the organization. I'm not tolerating nonsense this year. I'm putting my foot down. That's also, I think, part of the angle with the $14,000 fine. When he told Jenna, I'll have the NFL fine these guys $14,000. It's a show. Arians, and you sort of alluded to this before, Ira. Arians is putting on a show, so he's got these guys on their toes. That they're not going to be complacent. That they're not going to keep reading or watching the video of the Super Bowl. And I think it was all a stunt. A well-coordinated, well-orchestrated, well-thought-out stunt.
He set a tone today, Steve. How many times have we heard him say, this team ain't done garbage. Nothing.
Yeah, it was calculated, Ira, and it was fun. I liked it.
You know, I don't mind it.
I don't mind it at all. I don't have any problem with it. You know what? Arians knew that he was going to take all these questions, but it does beg the question, Ira, what is wrong with Cam Brate? Because he's had off-season injuries before. He's had hip issues. He's had other things going on. And we don't really know. He proved to be a vital cog through the postseason. And he came on late, obviously, after O.J. Howard went down last year. O.J. Howard did not practice today. And we were told he'd be ready for training camp. That was something that we had heard. So while he was running around, he wasn't ready yet, coming off the Achilles. Sage, do you think any of this show, quote-unquote, does any of it tell you that, yeah, maybe there is something more to the Cameron Brate thing, that it's not just a back spasm, that they want him to wait 2 days, or you don't even want to speculate?
I'd be a little concerned if I was a Buck fan because, Lee, it appears his body's breaking down a little bit. Brate, he's not old, you know, he's not 37, but he's not 25 either. He's got some wear and tear. Let's hope it's nothing serious, Lee, but with the uncertainty about Howard, that could be a problem at the tight end position.
I think it's serious because he's on the PUP list. That to me is, I mean, if it's just a sprained ankle.
He's not on the COVID list.
Yeah, if it's a sprained ankle, I just sit out a few practices. You know, he's on the PUP list. So something's going on. What that is, I don't know. But Brate's always been a little brittle. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I love Cam Brate. But I'm not being demeaning. He's always been dinged up, whether it's his back, shoulder, you name it. He's not that durable, let's put it that way. So the fact that he's got some kind of physical ailment does not surprise me. I'm just worried about the severity. Now, I saw all the videos that I could find, the ring ceremony. He looked to be, you couldn't tell there was anything wrong. He was hamming it up, joking with people, posing for pictures. He was doing some kind of stunt, I remember, and he laughed about it. Steve saw him at the White House. Steve said he looked to be in good spirits, so this is rather surprising.
Steve, if Buck fans are looking for something really to hang their hat on off one day of underwear football league, and this is not a small thing, Steve. We all saw it. Tom Brate was not wearing a knee brace today. That's big.
No,
that's
he was
big.
Wearing some damn band on his shin, and Arians got ticked about that.
I can handle a band on a shin, but Steve, we noticed it right away, and we still don't know what the real truth is. It's still murky. It's as murky as Brate wants to make it. But
well, we did promise Bucks fans that we would ask about Brady's allegedly torn MCL that made national news and all that. And so I asked Mike Evans.
And, of course, Brate wasn't available today.
Brate wasn't available today, exactly. I asked Mike Evans. Mike Evans said he didn't know anything about it. He just knew that Brate was very injured.
And Carlton Davis didn't know anything.
And you asked Carlton Davis, who said, no, you know, that was news to me, blah, blah, blah. So the mystery continues. We'll talk about that a little bit later, Ira. And we don't have to reset the whole argument.
But Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, real quick about Brady. I just read a comment on Joe Buck's fan. It's like, how do we know this guy was hurt? You know, Stroud's reporting this, and like, whoa, hold up. First off, Stroud didn't have the torn MCL. He had what, strained? It was Rappaport that had the torn MCL. And Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, so people do, just in case they don't know. I know who Rappaport talks to. If he got this information from the person I know Rappaport talks to, it's legit. And I have yet to hear anybody with the Bucks deny it.
That's right.
Ira, the scene there, you know, fans haven't been to training camp for a couple of years. Did you like the way the fans were handled, the few thousand VIPs that were out there, 2,200 or whatever it was? There weren't really many empty seats at all.
No, there weren't.
Hot as hell out there. And, you know, the Bucks no longer let the media sort of have the better view like the fans have. They kind of stuck us off to the side, although we can move around. But, Sage, your opinion on the whole vibe?
Well, it was a great turnout, but I think all three of us can agree on this. We've all been through many Buck training camps, and the first day is always you can't find a seat. Can't find a seat. Whether the rank-and-file fans are landing or not, and these was season pass people, season pass. But, Steve, a week into training camp, it's half empty. It's half empty. That's just the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be this year. And maybe even worse.
You think so?
Without the rank-and-file, I think. But I thought the passion was pretty good from the bleacher section. Now, Lee, you like that bleacher section.
Yeah,
you didn't even
everything.
Get in there today.
Well, because I was a Tier 2 protocol, and Tier 2, once you go in there, you lose your Tier 2 status. Tier 2 meaning I get to interview players one-on-one. Once you go in there that day when you're approved Tier 2, you go into bleachers, you lose your status.
Because so, you don't know what the status of the bleacher people are. That's right.
Well, I mean, I they aren't on any status. They're just people off the street. Not off the street, but
actually,
but if I get Tier 3, I can go into bleachers.
Okay. Actually, to get the Tier 2 status, Ira, Team Glazer injects you with a vaccine, which is really a tracking device, and they know if you cross that line, they know. Joel gets a beep wherever he is, and even if he's in England,
you know, you're only half kidding, because we were given a little bit of a tracking device that beeps. Steve, did yours beep at all today?
Well, it beeps if you're within whatever amount of feet of somebody who's also Tier 2. I don't even understand all of it. Just give me my little pass. I go where I want to go. Crazy. But I got to bring this up, Iro, because it is Arians. You know, it's not something to dwell on, but part of the Arians command, if you will, because it wasn't always like this by at all under the Jason Light regimes of the past, and certainly not with Team Glazer. You know, Bucks fans, when they come out to training camp, they can sit in the stands, take their pictures, their videos, laugh it up, their selfies, make their TikToks. They can do whatever they want, bring their beautiful Nikon cameras in there, the smaller kind. But we media, no. After 30 minutes, no tweeting, no video, no pictures. That's Arians. It's a direct call from Arians, who is tightening the noose on little rules and things because he's just in this mode, Ira. I don't know what else to say about it because it didn't happen before. When Jason Light was commanding over Dirk Cutter, and it didn't happen with
Lovey,
and even going back to other times.
It smells a little controlling, Lee. A little controlling.
Well, it is, Arians. Here's what's going on.
And maybe a little bit more than – and it's not a league dictum. It's not coming down from – if it's coming down from the league, Lee, we got nothing to say. We got nothing to say.
Oh, we still don't have anything to
but
say.
But not having Buck rank-and-file fans, that's not coming down from the league either. These are Buccaneer decisions. We got to remember that.
The rank and file, that saddens me. The Dolphins aren't doing that. Jaguars aren't doing that. The Falcons aren't doing that. The Saints aren't doing that. Who gives a damn about the stinking Panthers? I just think it's really sad that the year the Bucs break out from the lost decade and win it all, that Joe B fan who can't afford season tickets is banned from watching training camp practices. I think that's sad. I think that's shameful. I got an idea who made that call, and that guy did an interview today. Oh, the fans are... Don't give me that. You're shutting out so many fans. Why, I don't know. That is
sad. And a lot
sad.
Of our readers. A lot of
I'm
our
sure
readers.
I'm sure some of our readers. I think that's shameful. I really do. You know, it used to be they'd have a fan fest. And, they used to have all – and every couple of years, they pull back, and they pull back, and they pull back. pretty soon there's not going to be any access for anybody.
And interest is at a fever pitch.
Well, all these people buy their gear and invest money and invest their time and invest their emotions to watch a dog manure team. And then when you finally win, you shove them out the door? Come on, man.
What about, Lee, what about the no still pictures angle?
I don't care about the media because the fans don't care about the media. That's a media thing. That's not a fan thing. We're doing this for fans. Fans don't give a spit. They really don't. And I think we're wasting time whining about the media because, you know what, we're on the field. We may not be able to take pictures. We're on the freaking field. Fans can't do that. So enough of the crying about that.
See how the Kemper's a man of the people, Stephen?
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I think the crying is for the people, though. I think the crying is for the people. People, this is 2021. People love seeing pictures that we throw up on Twitter. They love seeing a four-second video of a play that makes their day better when they're sitting at work, miserable out of their minds, because it's 10 a.m.
chained to a cubicle.
And they can't see that. So that's the way I look at it. But I totally get what Lee's saying, Ira. Sage, as far as the practice itself, you know, you watch Brady sling the ball around. I think we can say the consensus is that he looks great. He gets rid of the ball so early, so much anticipation, so much confidence. And I was not at those first training camp practices last year, and I know the media there didn't have the greatest view, but damn, I'd be hard-pressed to believe that he was this confident and this anticipatory with all his throws coming out last year, which is the whole point of why we all think the Bucs are going to be so much better.
I share that view, Steve, and it's scary for 17 Buc opponents, I'll tell you that. The fact that Brady can be more than marginally be better than he was in 20. That's scary.
And 44.
And Steve's got it right, Lee. Effortless, no hesitation. If that's not there, I'm going here.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a lot of quarterbacks, they never learn it. I mean, they end up their career, they never learned it.
Yeah.
And Brady's at he's almost at the peak of his powers right now. You know, he can't move like he did. Okay, so what? He never was a runner. Never was a runner, Lee.
Well, funny you would say that, Ira. Last year, first day at training camp, I put out on Twitter, when we were allowed to Twitter, and I put out on Twitter, like, man, I thought Brady was supposed to be the statue. He's pretty nimble. 3 days later, Peter King used the exact same word in his column, nimble. Well, I thought Brady was pretty nimble today, and I put out on Twitter, Brady looks nimble. Then again, I said that last year, and the guy was on one leg. So yeah. What do I know?
Yeah. Steve, one point, and I'm going to amplify it later this week, but talking to Ryan Jensen, the guy that delivers the football to Tom Brady.
The sweaty football.
The sweaty football, 65 times a game for offensive snaps. He talked about the attention to detail that goes to what you were saying, Steve. Brady's always on a spot. He's on the right spot.
Mm.
And that really helps the Donovan Smiths, the Tristan Wirfs of the world. It's all about angles. It's very exacting. You know, this ain't sandlot football.
Interesting.
And they spend all week working on details, and Brady's the master at it. He's where he's supposed to be.
Yeah, look, these offensive linemen in general, they don't want to play for a running, scrambling quarterback. That makes their life harder, more unpredictable, and they can't be as precise because the whole point of the guy making plays behind them is not precision. So it does make life easier, lets him play more confidently. Ira, the adjectives used by Mike Evans talking about Brady, I thought they were just very rare adjectives to hear. Otherwise, I wouldn't bring them up because they weren't your typical player speak. He described Brady as, quote, very springy and wiry right now. What is that? That's like you playing tennis in 1973.
You know, it kind of hints, Lee, that he might have been a little hobbled last year, and now he's over it. You know, the Cowboy defense doesn't want to hear this stuff, Lee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Evans did say he was hurting bad last, the exact words. He was hurting bad. Like, whoa. I'm going to bring you something else up about Brady. You said Jensen told you about his angles, and they're very precise. You know, you interviewed Jensen. I wasn't there. I don't know if it was Tristan Wirfs or it was Ali Marpet, but they did an interview last year. Maybe it was after the Super Bowl. And they said that Brady in training camp last year went to an offensive line meeting. You know, every position group has their own room. He went to the offensive line room, and he told those guys, I think I've got the number right. I'm not sure. I need 3.4 seconds. You give me 3.4 seconds, I will complete passes. And you can't let them get inside.
And you've done your job if you do that.
Yeah, yes. If you block the inside, no matter what, and you give me 3.4 seconds, and again, I might be off on that number, I will complete passes. This guy's got it down to a science.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've never heard of a quarterback going to an offensive line room in a meeting room and their meeting telling them how to do their job. And, of course, they paid rapt attention to him because it's Mr. Six Rings, now Seven Rings.
That's a big part of the Brady effect is, and I don't think he stops at the O-line room. I think he's in there with Jordan Whitehead. I mean, I really do.
Well, I think he's in the cafeteria, Ira. He's at there. You get that lettuce right.
Well, you notice, Ira, he's
Steve,
already.
You're only half kidding, Steve. You're only half kidding.
I know. Ira, you notice he already says he consults with Todd Bowles leading up to every game.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we had talked about that on the last podcast. You can find all the podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, Podbean, other platforms, and, of course, right at JoeBucksFan.com.
Hey, I got a nice hello this morning from Coach Rapone over there, Stevie. I don't know if you were there, but he said, Ira, Sage, looking good. Ira, you might have dropped a couple of pounds. Did you hear that? Can you confirm it, Steve?
I cannot confirm that, but you have lost some pounds. It's obvious. And we put those pictures out a few weeks ago. You might need to catch up to where you were a few weeks ago, Ira, but you're doing great. Training camp's just beginning. You're sweating like a beast.
Now, I just ate up a storm at Big Storm, so we'll see.
Hey, Ira, we have got a special guest, and that's a guy we've talked to before, David Wenk. He's coming up next. We recorded this segment before we did this, you know, a little bit of the magic of podcasting. And so we get into a lot of Bucks topics, a lot of various angles that we don't always go in directions we go in. So we're excited. Dr.
Sometimes
Wenk,
he agreed with me. Sometimes he agreed with the Kemper. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was sort of every podcast listener's dream goes to Dr. David Wenk. But Ira, I know you know this, and we've said it, and we believe it wholeheartedly. And fans need to understand, if you have a problem in your condo, a disaster in your home, whatever that is, a fire, exhaust fan chewed out some chunk of your ceiling, or you've got a flood, you come home after you're away on vacation, and oh, I got water under my sink, and now I got mold, and what do? You just call Florida's Elite Restoration. Very simple. They are going to give you a free assessment. Now, if you got water spraying all over your place, you got to get that shut off. Doesn't mean they won't help you and guide you, but you got to, like they say when you call the doctor's office, call 911 if you've got an extreme emergency. Like if your house is burning down, don't call Florida's Elite Restoration. Call the fire department. But Ira, in all seriousness, that's who you want to call immediately, because otherwise the insurance company is good chance they're going to screw you and send you in different directions, and they'll help you manage that. But more important, there'll be an honest assessment at your property very quickly of what's happening, so you can feel like you got someone you trust looking out for you, and then you go from there. So very important, Ira.
And, Steve, it's a paramount issue in the place we call home. We're not living in Iowa. So, you know, you
careful. You don't want Tristan Wirfs getting mad at you.
You got the humidity. That's a big factor, Lee.
It gets humid in Iowa, trust me.
But not for six
no,
months.
No, not like
if you even think, Lee, that you have a remote chance to have a mold issue or a mold problem, you call Florida's Elite Restoration.
We're not talking about cheese, right?
And you're going to get an honest assessment.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Lee, Ira eats everything in the fridge. A little mold is not going to kill anybody. Come on, he's from Brooklyn. They grew up with mold everywhere.
My dad used to tell me some of the best aged meats you could ever find, if you put them in a grocery store, no one would buy them. They'd gross you out. Mold and everything, and they just scrape it off, and they clean it, and they cook it, and it's awesome.
I don't even want to think about that.
If you can see Ira's face,
oh my God,
he's dying. All right, let's get to Dr. Wenk. All right, Ira, you know, we just love talking to the hardest of the very hardcore Bucks fans. We hear from them all the time, and a good handful of them are our friends, and we're honored to have them because they're just so damn passionate and knowledgeable. At least the ones that we love so much, Ira. One of them sitting right here with us at Big Storm, as we mentioned before, Dr. David Wenk, Florida Cancer Specialist and Research Institute, medical oncologist, but all the people Dr. Wenk saves and all the great work that he does, and just wow. That's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about the Bucks. So, Dr. Wang, thanks for sitting in on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Our loyal listeners know you've been here before. You're a very busy man.
Hold on. I must interject. Coach Rapone likes to say, Ira, I listen to your podcast all the time because you have the pulse of the Buck fans. You are a man of the people. So, Steve, just adding to what you're saying as an intro, this is a man of the people. This is a classic Buck fan.
Yeah, Dr. Wang, thanks for coming in. We know you are just among the hardest of the hardcore Bucks fans. Maybe you don't go back 20 years. We know you don't. You're sort of more of a modern era fan, last 15 years
he
or so.
He missed a lot of bad Buck football, I'll tell you that.
He had his share over the last decade, that's for sure. But I got to ask you, I'm going to stick with Dr. Wank. No, Dave, it's just too official for me. I got to go with the doctor. Dr. Wank, the Super Bowl, as so many fans have their discussion of what it's meant to them, what did it mean to you when you realized, whenever it was, that, shit, we're winning this thing, it's in the bag? What was the ecstasy like for you?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's, you know, what a different time. You know, usually this time of year, it's, okay, are we going to win 6 games? Are we going to win 7 games?
And, what draft pick are we going to get?
Oh, yeah, that's my Halloween, you know. If I'm always looking the draft by Halloween. But you talk about the lost decade. I moved to Tampa in 04, and so I missed out on the Super Bowl era and the Super Bowl run. So I just inherited a bunch of just god-awful football for all those years, and how many pathetic quarterbacks did I see over the years, and empty stadiums. So, I mean, this year, you know, and here and now, full stadiums, packed houses. I don't know, as a Bucks fan, I don't know what to expect. This is kind of uncharted territory.
Did you have a moment? Did you cry a lot? Did you celebrate with your kids for too long? I mean, how did this go for you?
You know, the Super Bowl, you know, this whole season was interesting. How it started out, no fans. And I think that was kind of the big bummer for Bucks fans, is that even when, you know, the hype of Brady starting and then, you know, the whole all COVID and can't go to the stadium initially and all that brought. But then as the season went on in the playoffs, you know, I went up to Green Bay, and I will say that's been the best football experience I've ever had in my life, even more than the Super Bowl. The fans in Green Bay, the atmosphere, and to know that you're going to the Super Bowl was an experience I'll never forget. But the Super Bowl was a butt-kicking. I mean, that game, you know, from the beginning, even though, you know, the Bucks got down 3-0, but by the end of the first quarter, seeing how it was played, you knew that the Bucks were going to run away with this. And it was kind of surreal thinking that, my gosh, 2 years ago, you know, hoping to win 6-7 games, and here we are just dominating in the Super Bowl against Mahomes and the Chiefs.
How many times you watched that game so far, Mr. Wink?
At least 30. You know, it's funny because I put my kids through it. My 20-month-old, you know, can't even say the word football. He's kind of working on it, but he keeps seeing this thing on TV. And he's
keeps seeing Mahomes running, right?
He's like, well, what's going on? What's going on?
That's awesome. 30. I think it's Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford. I believe he said 30.
That's right. I got a quick
question.
That was
his number.
For Doc. That Green Bay game, and you get a lot of credit for going up there. I mean, there weren't a lot of Buck fans in that crowd. How did you feel in retrospect when on fourth down the Green Bay coach ordered that field goal instead of giving Rodgers one more shot at the end zone? How'd you feel?
You know, that just, to me, summarizes Rodgers' career. You know, they don't draft him any help. They draft a quarterback, don't trust him with the ball. I mean, it's just that's classic Green Bay, classic Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, I was, you know, as a Bucks fan, I'm like, thank God.
Did you say they're not going to get the ball back? We got Brady.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, and why, knowing you're facing Brady, why would you do that? It makes no football sense. And the fans I was around at the time couldn't believe it.
All right, enough of the reminiscing. The new season is here. Dr. Wank, you've heard the debate between Ira and Lee and back and forth about the value of the running backs on this team, who should be doing what, how it should be approached. Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, Giovanni Bernard, Ira's obsession, Keyshawn Vaughn is there. You've heard me chime in as well. Where do you stand as a fan on the running back battle? Who do you want to see? How do you want to see it handled? What do you think? Just give us your take on the running backs.
You know, honestly, I'm a Rojo fan myself. Up until the playoffs, watching Fournette run the ball, you know, he didn't run the ball very hard. He was, you know, I forget who one of the analysts was saying, he was the softest running back running through the tackles he's ever seen. Running upright, I don't know if he just didn't care. And obviously the playoffs, he was a different running back. But I just like the way Rojo hits the hole. He's got more passion when he runs the ball. But, hey, may the best man win.
What about the famous DeKemper line? Why would you throw the ball to Giovanni Bernard? You got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Stop thinking about Giovanni Bernard, and I say he moves the chains.
I'm with you on that. It's 3rd and 4. It's 3rd and 5. Run a quick out to him. He catches the ball, moves the chains. There you go. And then you take your
shot
on
1st and 10.
So why was he a backup with the awful Bengals?
Well, he's not a great running back. They had Mixon, who's a good running back. And I'm not saying he's going to get 10 carries. He's not.
He's the perfect player for Brady. He's that guy, like you said, that moves the chains. Yeah, he's not a three-down back. He's not going to carry the load, but he's there to move the chains. And, you know, then you got first and 10, you throw the ball 40 yards to Evans.
Ira, one thing we're going to do, Lee and I have someone who's going to be doing some research for us, some deep research.
I don't like that.
Well, yeah, we do our own, but a little deeper, stuff we don't have time for, you know? And one thing I want to ask the guy to do is to really go back and look at the greatest offenses, greatest passing offenses in NFL history, and figure out how many times they threw to the running backs, short passes to the running backs, and how much they ran the ball, just sort of how important it really was to the offense, so we can get some numbers out there, you know, because Lee's not saying don't throw the ball to a running back. You can't send Mike Evans out on 65 go routes a game. He'll be exhausted and beaten up by the end of the season. But I do kind of lean toward Lee with, you know, this thing is built to be the greatest offense in the history of the world. Now, I know that Brady only cares about winning, and that's really what we should care about. But I don't know. I lean toward they could score 40 a game if they really open this thing up. I don't know. What do you think?
Would you mind if Brady threw 45 passes a game? I mean, is that a winning formula?
I mean, I never understood that. Okay, you can't throw the ball more than X amount of times because that's a losing formula. You got to run the ball this amount of times. If you got Brady and he's completing passes, I don't care if he throws the ball 60 times a game. You know, it's all about, you know, moving the ball, moving the chains. And if you can do that throwing the ball over running the ball, who cares?
Don't you expose Brady a little bit more to injury?
I mean, you do, but that's where the quick passes get the ball out. Get it to someone like Bernard. He doesn't need to be taking 5-7-step drops all the time. Just get the ball out. I mean, a 5-yard out, a quick throw is just like handing the ball off.
He's not going to get sacked. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Dr. Wank, I'm not going to take you too far out of bounds of your expertise here. I know you're not an orthopedist, but what did you think when you heard that Tom Brady played the whole year on a torn MCL, didn't tell anybody, didn't get the surgery that apparently he said he was hurt in April or May of last year, didn't get that cleaned up for a couple, you know, where he would have been back by August. What did you think, your thoughts when you
teammates
heard that?
Didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what to think. I immediately called one of my buddies who's a sports medicine ortho guy. And
Dr. Joe?
Dr. Joe. And he didn't buy it. He's like, look, you're not going to play with that. He's not a believer of that story. You know, who knows what's true, but I rely on him on a lot of the sports medicine stuff, so who knows what to
that
believe.
That story's got some holes in it.
I think it does, too. I think it does.
Dr. Joe making an appearance. He's not even here. How about
Dr.
that?
Dr. Joe.
What do you guys speculate why Brady's putting it out there, if maybe it is bogus or if it's a way exaggerated? What's the point? Is he want to add to his own?
He likes to play mind games sometimes, David.
I mean, I think he does. I mean, if you look at that video he put up on Twitter today, throwing the ball into the jugs machine, I mean, now it's all being debated. Is that real? Is it not? I mean, it's getting like 2-3 million views. Yeah. So I think he likes pushing the envelope and just, you know, bringing discussion out there.
Well, Steve said something about Brady once that I think hits the nail on the head. Is there anything this guy does that's not calculated?
No, he's got a production company behind him. Yeah. He's got, I mean, you think of his social media people. He's got image people. No, everything is calculated.
Yeah. And speaking of being calculated, Dave, I'll say this. Just after the first day of training camp, I've noticed this. And I don't think you mind it, and I don't mind it, really. Arians is being very calculating. And I said in my column, they could have had the greatest practice you've ever seen. But Arians would have said, okay. And I don't mind that. He's going to be on their ass this year. And I don't think you mind it either.
No, I think he's got to. You know, everyone's proclaiming them. You know, it's Super Bowl or bust. They've got, you know, one of the best rosters, you know, I'd like to say, in the history of the NFL going into the season. So he's got to be hard on them. Otherwise, they're going to have this massive hangover, and you're going to end up going, you know what, I usually would say 8-8, but this crazy season, now it's going to be 8-9 with 17 games.
Yeah.
All right, calculated. I need some deep thinking sage wisdom, Ira, but I want some different sage wisdom from Dr. Wank and just what you guys think. Now, if we all agree that Brady is so calculated, then we do know that he and his trainer, and he's been saying this for years, and Brady sort of doubled down on it on Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio. He wants to play through age 45, which is two more seasons, including this one, with the Bucks. Is that calculated to make sure everybody knows this, to help him get more endorsements? Do you believe that Brady really believes I'm going two more years no matter what? Or is it some sort of misdirection play somehow? I don't know. What do you guys feel about that? Because two more years in Tampa for Tom Brady gets me and Lee very excited.
I believe that part. I think he'll be here for this season and next season.
No, I do as well. And I think he looks at this roster and says, look, we've got a roster to win the next couple of years. Now, what's going to happen after that with all, you know, the big contracts that are going to need to be signed? And maybe he looks at it, I got 2 years to really win, you know, potentially win two more Super Bowl rings. So I think he's calculated on that as well.
Lee, if he gets injured this season and has to miss sevens and the Bucks miss the playoffs, would he call it a day? Or would he come back in 2022?
He'd come back. And then your buddy's playing.
Who's my buddy?
Blaine Gabbert.
next podcast, please.
I don't know. I'm starting to think. I'm starting with the calculatedness of Brady. I'm not that that's a word, but I'm starting to think that he's going to stick this out no matter what. Even if Leftwich leaves, even if they lose Chris Godwin in free agency, he's got his mind made up. And the Antonio Brown words for Brady on Instagram, I don't know if you guys saw that. All the love that he shared and teaching. I thought it was very interesting hearing Antonio Brown talk about how Tom Brady is teaching him how to be more humble every year because people like that. Since when do these guys care what people think? And then meanwhile, Antonio Brown puts up a picture of him wearing like 37 pounds of gold around his neck and he wants to be more humble. I thought that was hilarious. I don't know if you guys saw that.
This love affair with Brown and Brady, it's mystified me from the start.
I don't get it. It's like certain friendships you have in life, you know, usually you can understand them. This one, I just don't get. You can't have two more polar opposite individuals. I don't know how Giselle, that whole, he's living with Brady. I still don't understand how that whole thing worked out, you know.
Expanded role for Brown this season? Because he came on pretty good at the end.
Lee may correct. I don't think he dropped a single pass all season.
He did not.
I mean, his hands are as good as anybody in the league. I want to see an expanded role for him. I mean, he looks as good as he did in his Steeler days.
So, Dr. Wank, when you go out to camp, when you watch practice, what do you want to see? What are you looking for as a hardcore fan, you know, aside from hey, this is great, after you take everything in for 30 minutes, what are you looking for?
You know, the first thing, I just want to see football again. You know, seeing, you know, again, this whole year and a half has just been a nightmare for everyone, and just seeing football. And then once I get over that, you know, I think I want to see that, you know, there's that discipline. There's that, you know, I don't want to see the Super Bowl hangover. I think that's, as a Bucs fan, that's my biggest worry. Is it all this hype and you go into that game on September 9th, that Thursday night, and the Bucks lose by 10? And then it's like, you know, what just happened? So I want to see attention to detail. I want to see the running back competition. And that's the thing I want to see. Is this going to be playoff Lenny or Rojo? Or, you know, is maybe Vaughn going to sneak in there? You know, what's going on with Bernard? I mean, that's the battle I'm looking for.
Is it simplistic to say, Dr. Wink, on the injury front, and Arians spoke today that that's a big part of it. It's good fortune. You need good fortune. And the Bucks have had that for the most part. But, David, if I told you that Brady's going to play all 17 games, he's not going to get hurt, isn't this team kind of primed that they could, if that's the given, they're going to be competitive?
I mean, to me, if Brady plays all 17 games, the Bucks are going 15, or at least winning 15 games. And I always, back in the day, thought the Bucks were winning 11 games when they'd win four. You know, I'm always the optimist. but you look at the talent, and you're talking about getting O.J. Howard back.
And there's some depth.
You're assuming Vita Vea is going to be heavy now, you know, being healthy. The only downfall is if Brady gets hurt, and then forget about the season. But if Brady plays all 17, how do you not win 15 games?
Ira, I got to tell this story because it happened to us, and I don't know if you caught the comedy of it all. I don't know if you heard what he said. But so, as we mentioned earlier, Ira and I had our COVID testing this morning, and in front of me in line was playoff Lenny getting his, I guess, what's now a daily test for him because he's not vaccinated. We don't need to go there. So we leave the trailer, and guys are still reporting to practice. They're just coming in. We were there very early. And in comes Rojo, pulling up in his sweet ride. And he gets out, talked to him for a little bit. Hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Rojo, can I get a picture? You know, thinking I'd take a picture of him before he goes in, just to get him to stand still for half a second, then put it out on Twitter, or use it on Joe Bucks Fan, whatever. Rojo thinks, he asked me he thought I wanted a selfie. He came over, he thought he wanted a selfie, which was just hilarious. I don't know if you caught the comedy and all that. That was just too funny. Like, It's just Rojo. He's just sort of carefree. Hey, man, yeah, sure, man.
I got one more
thing. Let me just say, we did not take a selfie. I explained to him that, you know, that's over the line for me, at least a little bit.
Dave, how comforting is it to you as a hardcore Buck fan that the last quarterback to lead a team to a repeat title happens to be the guy that's under center for the Bucks? Isn't that a tremendous feeling of comfort for you?
You know, even, you know, you go back, you know, gosh, you know, 10, 15 years watching Brady, and I'd always be frustrated. First of all, the Patriots were always on TV. You know, our Bucks were relegated to the 1 o'clock time slot, and they were blacked out, you know, half the time, too. So, you know, watching Brady, and I always get frustrated because all they would do is win. So, you know, I was jealous of all those Patriot fans over the years, knowing that you've got the guy under center who every single time he starts a game for you, you got a great shot of winning. So I've got the utmost confidence that, you know, he's playing, we're going to win.
And I think the first sign of complacency that he detects anywhere, he's on it.
You know, I hate to say there'll never be another one, but there really won't be, because it's not just the talent, it's what he brings to the locker room. You look at guys like AB who couldn't stay in another franchise. You look what he lasted in New England 2 weeks. He goes out to Oakland, lasts a week, and now he's praising Brady and he's happy as anything in Tampa. I mean, the guy literally changes people's behavior, changes, you know, who they are. It's unbelievable.
And it's not easy to win Lee DeKemper over, and Lee is all in on number 12. All in.
You getting a 12 jersey?
Since Steve and I launched Joe Bucks Fan, I've not bought a Bucks jersey. Still the journalist in me.
We used to work with a guy at the Tampa Tribune, Lee, back in those days, 03, 04. He'd come to work. Lee was not technically on staff. He was working full-time, but he wasn't a quote-unquote staff member. So Lee would come in. He'd wear a Lightning jersey. He's wearing a Bucks jersey every day, different hat, you know, a Bucks T-shirt, whatever, all kinds of gear to work. And their coworker was like, where the hell does he get that much money? That jersey's $135, that Bucks jersey. You know, it was just hilarious. So,
yeah, I think my rent at the time was $400.
And, you know, one thing I've been saying all off season, and I want Buck fans to get on my case, because if something bad happens, they're going to say I'm a jinx. But, Dave, when you look at it, you go back to February 6th or whatever. What an off season. I mean, there's no hiccups. There's nothing. They bring everybody back. They add Bernard. You mentioned Vea's coming back. You mentioned Howard's coming back. There's nothing to complain about, David.
No, I mean, that's where, you know, and again, this is the Brady influence. It's like you still don't believe it's happening. I mean, you bring 22 starters back. I mean, it's never happened before in a Super Bowl era. So, I don't know. I mean, as Bucks fans, we're still living in this, you know, fantasy world. We're waiting to wake up from this and realize we're, you know, winning six games again like we usually do.
Dr. Wink, as an oncologist, I got to ask you this, especially since last podcast I mentioned it, and I actually had a few people say something to me today at One Buck Place. I mentioned that when I saw Arians at the White House, he really didn't look good. He just didn't look like the same guy, heavier, tired, and you know, he just looked kind of rough. And he's known as a three-time cancer survivor. Prostate, he had a tumor on his kidney and whatever, and obviously, you're not going to examine the guy on our podcast here. You're not David Chow on Sirius, who seems to know everybody's injuries.
Right.
But what does he go through? And, you know, is there anything here that you think is becomes more of an issue as he gets older, as he's hit close to 70 now, just with the things he's had in the past?
And again, I don't know his medical history. I can only go on what I see of him. Forget his cancer history. What worries me the most, you know, you have a stressful job, and, you know, I think he likes to eat and drink. I don't think I'd go out on a limb and, you know, when you see him and he says that, you know, so.
And he's not an exerciser.
And as you get older, what's the number one killer? It's heart disease. And so I just hope he can, you know, get with his doctor, maybe work on his diet and exercise program a little bit. And we need him. He's a heck of a leader.
Any chance Arian stays if Brady retires? Do you see him sticking around?
I think it depends what happens. Bucks win the Super Bowl this year, which I am predicting right now. I don't think I'm going out on a limb. They are the favorites, I believe, in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. So now that's the thing. If the Bucks win the Super Bowl, win back-to-back, I think the Arians does hang it up and maybe hands it over to whether it's Bowles or Leftwich.
And then Brady stays for one more year.
And then Brady says, wait a minute, do I win three in a row? You know, and I think that could be the next notch.
And that hasn't happened.
That hasn't happened. So he's won back-to-back. Does he go for three in a row?
And Arians did say publicly last year, it was rare for him, he said publicly that he'd love to stick around and sort of hand off the job because he'd like to still be involved in some way. I think Arians would love to work 2 days a week, you know, looking at personnel, coming out to practice and helping out in a Tom Moore kind of role, but with a lot less hours.
Hey, one thing I've been mentioning a lot on the podcast, this coaching staff, top to bottom, not just the coordinators. I mean, Dirk Cutter might not have been a bad head coach. I think Lee thinks that, you know, he's a decent head coach, but he didn't have a good staff, Dave, and I think this staff has made a huge difference for guys like Ronald Jones, Jordan Whitehead, Carlton Davis, guys that have, look what they've done with the middle linebacker in the last couple of years. It makes a difference.
Now, it makes, I mean, you know, watching the Mike Smith defenses, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. That having a good staff, because, it, you know, it's complementary football. It, you know, it doesn't matter how many points you score. If you're giving up, you know, 40 points a game, you're not going to win games. So I think you're absolutely right. The staff, the players are buying in, and, you know, he's created an unbelievable, you know, situation for all these players in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Cutter was a nice coach. However, you can't say on the NFL level he was a good head coach, because part of that responsibility is having some sort of oversight over the defense. I mean, if it's only because your defense sucks so bad, you got to make changes. He never did. I mean, he claimed he made the change with Mike Smith. I'm very, very confident that came from upstairs. I'm very confident.
Dr. Wank, on defense, do you feel there's any weakness there? Are you worried at all about the secondary that, hey, you know, maybe they're playing over their heads a little bit? Maybe if the pass rush takes a step back, that the secondary will get exposed a little bit? Do you believe Carlton Davis is a top five corner, a top 10 corner? What's your take on the secondary? Which I think if we had to really pick one weakness of the team, not that it's a weak secondary, that's it, in my opinion.
No, I agree, because if you look at the front four there, especially with Vea back, if Vea's healthy, that's as good as it gets there. The linebacking, you know, between the two with Devin and Levante, there's not a better tandem in football. So it's got to be the secondary. Now, the problem is in the NFL, I don't care who you have in the secondary. With the rules, you can't cover people. So it's going to come down. If you don't have a pass rush, you cannot cover these receivers. You're going to get flagged. You know, it's just that it is what it is. The rules are the rules. So, you know, the days of Revis Island and all that are long gone, because you can't cover these guys. But I'm excited. I like these young guys. And there's ball hawks in the secondary. And Carlton Davis, he's kind of grown on me. I mean, he is one of the better cornerbacks in the league. And I think we don't realize until you watch some other cornerback play around the league and you realize just how bad it is.
Or you just remember E.J. Biggers.
I'm like, don't go there, Lee.
one guy we haven't mentioned, and we like to talk about him on the podcast.
Roy Cummings?
No, Steve, you're the best. Dave, I don't know. I know this sounds crazy, but like the guy possibly could be the best player on the team. And Devin White's got something to say about that, and so does Brady and Mike Evans. But Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah.
I know he's a rookie, but talking to Ryan Jensen today, Ryan Jensen said he might have been the best tackle in football last
year. I mean,
year.
To me, not might have. I think
he
was.
And he didn't
was.
Say right tackle.
Yeah. I mean, what did he give up? One sack to Mac in that the game against the Bears.
Yeah, it wasn't
like
he gave up a sack.
That was
scrub.
It. I mean, that guy dominated. The problem is O-line always trailed, you know, the team's success by about a year. And now you'll see, you know, this year all these Pro Bowlers make, and I think he got enough press as it was, but I think it'll really shine this
year. I voted for him as an All-Pro, yeah.
I got a chance to talk to Wirfs after practice day one-on-one. And thanks to Mike Pahanik of Buccaneers Media Relations for setting that up. I didn't expect it. That was a wonderful surprise. But Wirfs told me, of course I can get better. That's what he said. He's like, I said, how do you get any better? How do you double what you did last year? You did something that is so rare. How do you build on that? And I, can you get better? And he's like, of course I can get better. And it was like, you know, he's a good guy. He laughed, you know. He's a real, you know, he's the kind of guy you want to go out and have a beer with and joke around with. He's a great personality. But he kind of looked at me when I asked that question, because of course I can get better. What are you talking about?
You know, Dave, sometimes things fall your way, and it's fallen the Bucs' way a lot. And you go back to that draft, and Wirfs was the last of the four tackles. He could have been off the board, you know, easily. I mean, the Giants took Thomas and they regret that because they see how good Wirfs is. And when he was the last guy standing, the Bucs moved up and got him. But he could have been long gone.
No, you know, I don't pretend that, you know, I'm an offensive tackle guru. You know, I look at, you know, that draft, the Bucs needed a tackle, and they were going to draft a tackle. And you're right, we couldn't have lucked into it any better, because You know, I think the Jets turned that guy, the Jets, what's his
Becton
name?
Maybe.
Becton turned out okay.
Yeah, but he's good. Yeah.
No, the guy from Georgia, I think, is
that's
kind
Thomas.
Of a, yeah, Thomas
yeah.
not looking so good. So, yeah, I mean, you couldn't have got a better pick. I mean, that's one of the best picks of the entire draft.
All right, before we say goodbye to Dr. Wenk, I got to bring this up. Lee mentioned it on the website. I had been thinking about it for a while, Ira, and we're obviously in complete win now mode. You got to repeat at all costs. And Kyle Trask, it just smells like they're going to find an injury for Kyle Trask. He'll hit injured reserve. Ryan Griffin will get to be the third guy because they feel at least he knows the offense better and he's not going to shit his pants if they get to the playoffs with Ryan Griffin. Doesn't mean he'll win. Ira, you think Trask makes the roster? What do you think of the whole premise? And Dr. Wenk, what injury you think is a good one for Mr. Trask?
I think your premise is right on. Trask will not take a snap for the 2021 Bucks, nor should he, perhaps. Now, you know how I feel about Gabbert.
If he takes a snap, we're in trouble.
If he takes a snap, you're in trouble. And they'll find a way to keep him, keep another team from grabbing him. They'll find a way.
You got to. It's a second-round pick. It's an investiture, as you like to as you like to refer to. Now you got to find a way. He's going to have some weird rotator cuff injury that's going to put him on the sidelines and stash him away.
Well, I got to ask you something here. If they do that, and it's going to, just on face value, it's going to smell out loud. And on top of that, you got Brady. Well, he didn't say, but it's out there that he played on a torn MCL all year. Mike Evans, I thought the most telling quote today was Mike Evans. He was hurting bad. Like, whoa. He was hurting bad. They didn't put him on the injury report. Now, I'm happy they didn't do it because that was in the Bucks' favor. But if you're Belichick, for example, you're screaming at Goodell. What the hell's going on here? You know, guys that hurt and the Bucks aren't putting him on the injury report? You know, Floro's written a lot about this. So if they played monkey games with Trask, and it will smell when they do that, even though, wink, wink, we know what's going on top of what they did with Brady, do you think someone's going to blow the whistle on the Bucks or some? You know, Goodell's going to come down on him?
Other
or?
Teams do it, Dave.
Every team does. I don't get this whole injury report stuff. I mean, obviously it's all done for the gamblers, but I don't understand. It's one thing if you put someone on the injured report and they're not injured, then you got to prepare for them. So to me, that's a competitive disadvantage for a team. They were preparing for another quarterback. But if you don't list someone on the injury report, so you're preparing for Brady to play. So why is that a competitive disadvantage for a team? I see it the opposite.
That's what Max Stark said. But here's where it gets interesting.
That's the logic you should be bringing to this podcast. Where are you?
Here's where it gets interesting for me, the injury report stuff. Now, I know Mike Florio's all over that. And I guess by the letter of the law, the Bucks are violating NFL rules. By the letter of the law. But, you know, so what?
Anyway, this team doesn't win this division, David. Let's be honest.
If Brady is upright and he's playing 17 games, there's no way the Bucks don't run away with the division.
Ira, pay attention. Dr. Wenk already said 15-2. That locks you up for the division, Ira. Come on.
Now, if Kyle Trask is starting, yeah, well then.
I'm saying the Saints are imploding now. I mean, they got problems.
I can't wait to see. Oh God.
You still got to play the games. That's the crazy thing, and that's what makes it all so much fun.
Yeah, who
fun.
Saw
you
the Bucks coming play the last game.
Would you feel more confident if Hill's under center or if Winston's
under
center?
No, give me Winston because you know he's good for three picks a game.
Thank you.
Hill at least can run, and he's got that stupid gimmick offense. With Winston, he's going to go back, throw the ball, and he's going to throw picks.
He's going to spray it around, man. Jamel Dean to the house.
You know how happy Winfield is going to be if he sees Winston under center?
All right, Dr. Wenk, we're going out on that. We hope you join us again. And, you got a final word for Ira? I always give Ira a final word. Dr. Wenk, you got a final word for Ira?
I see Ira looking at the food over here. He's looking for his beet salad. He didn't have one for him.
Speaking of which, you go to California, you're bragging about you go to this place in Malibu. People on JoeBucksFan.com, there's commenters. What the hell did you eat out there? Did you get any beet salad? What's going down?
I said it was a crab and shrimp linguine. And chili and sea bass. Three drinks.
Yeah, your wife had the sea
dessert,
bass.
Dessert.
These people aren't paying attention. That's the problem.
$150. And I was never so happy to spend $150.
So you only went to one
except
restaurant.
Except for that woman in Vegas.
You were in California for 10 days, and you ate one meal.
We cooked at the house.
What'd you cook?
All right, Iris. Say goodbye to Dr. Wenk, and we'll keep the podcast going.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. See you guys.
Ira, great sitting down with Dr. Wenk. A lot of insight there. Anything really stand out to you there? I know you were in absolute ecstasy all over your face that he's a Rojo guy like you.
Well, but he disagreed with me on a couple of things and agreed with the Kemper, which is perfect. Huh. You know, I think we're blessed, Lee. We're blessed to be around Sean Sullivan and David Wenk.
Mm.
Look, there's a million Buck fans out there, but we got two of the sharpest, most passionate Buck fans you could ever come across. Mm-hmm. Both very successful in their respective fields, but they spend a lot of time thinking about this football team. Hey, look, David Wenk went to Lambeau Field. How many people got on a plane from Tampa and went to Lambeau Field?
Outside the Glazers?
Outside the Glazers and the Buck family.
Not many.
I mean, that shows you something. I just think it's great.
You know how NFL teams adapt and adjust, and we hear about Michael Thomas going to be out a long time, but he did miss half the season last year, and when he came back, he needed like three games to get going, and the Saints still had the Bucs on the verge of an issue there. You think this really is a big impact for the Saints? Do they make any kind of move to adjust? What do you think, the loss of Michael Thomas?
Well, they still have Kamara, and he's a saving grace because he's that good. Mm-hmm. He's elite. Not elite restoration. He's elite. Lee, what else do they have? They don't have Breeze. Michael Thomas is all messed up. They got rid of Emmanuel Sanders. I think they got rid of Jared Cook, the guy that fumbled the ball. They got a good offensive line, but Lee, where are their weapons? Is anybody keeping Carlton Davis up at night when the Bucks go into, what's it called now? Caesars?
Yeah.
Caesars Superdome?
I believe so.
Oh, my God. I think the Saints are imploding right in front of our eyes, Lee.
Oh.
Isn't that horrible, Lee? Atlanta can't protect Matt Ryan, you know, and they lost Julio Jones. I mean, everything's breaking right for this. It's scary, Lee. It's scary.
Yeah, it's like, you don't know what to say. It's like, well, I know Wink had said, this is like a dream.
I can just hear Jason Light saying, shut up, Kaufman. Shut up. You're killing us.
I'm saying, Ira, I got to say this. Just the gambler in me and just the fan in me. And it's not, I got to say, it's so easy when your team wins the Super Bowl or kicks ass, whatever sport it is, to fall into the trap. All of a sudden, everybody else sucks. And there's no one close to you at all. And this is the problem. As we sit here, not that you guys have a problem, but this is what Bruce Arians, as you brought up, Ira, bring the podcast full circle. Yeah. This is what he's battling because these guys, from their friends, their social media, they're going to watch NFL Network when the half of NFL Network's at $1 on July 31st.
They're seeing the debacle in Green Bay. What's going on in Green Bay?
They're going to hear and believe, oh, my gosh, we are the team. We are the team. We are the team. We've talked about it before, but now the training camp's here. Arians has a bit of a challenge, along with the leadership, and this is where leadership, I believe, comes in. Brady, JPP, smacking these guys around, saying, it doesn't work that way.
I'll jump on the bandwagon here with Steve. It's going to be worse for the Bucs in that respect, you know, trying to get past the Super Bowl, because guess what? Now you got media there. There was no media one-on-one interviews. There were no media questions. Everything was Zoom last year. There's no more Zoom right now. You know, I don't know if they're going to resume that or not. And guess what? People like me and others are going to ask him about the Super Bowl because we never had a chance to ask him face-to-face until now. That's going to continue. And the more they're asked about it, the more, as Steve would say, they remember it. And the more they're stuck in the past. And Arians has to fight that.
Steve, they can say all they want. Last season was last season. That's a great soundbite, Steve, but human nature is we're the Super Bowl champ.
Yeah. When NFL Network comes on July 31st, you think they're going to be asking about the Rams game? No.
Yeah.
I know it sounds insane. I said this maybe 6 weeks ago, and I don't feel that way in my heart, but in some ways, I could make an argument that the best thing that could happen to this team would be to lose to Dallas. And I don't want them to lose to Dallas. I'm a Bucs fan,
Steve.
But big picture, you know, maybe.
It certainly wouldn't be a death knell, Lee. I mean, the 2002 Bucks lost at home to New Orleans in week one. They did. On a crazy
Chucky
play.
Took that game away.
David Wenk, Dr. Wenk said the Bucks are going 15-2. I believe the Bucks should march their way to 13 wins, no problem. Yeah, you know, we all have our opinions, and we all believe they're way better than that 11.5 line that's out there now. But you know what? If Dr. Wenk's right and they're steamrolling to 15-2, freaking lose opening day and wipe everybody's brain clear of the Super Bowl.
I'm gonna defend the handful of fans that are, you know, running off the road hearing you saying you're okay with them losing to Dallas. One of the two or three coaches I respect the most in all of sports. He's retired. He's not in great health. Bobby Knight, he always said, you never learn anything from a loss. That goes against what a lot of people believe. But he always said that you never, he said a loss is a failure. You don't learn from being a failure. You learn by accomplishments.
Ira, I know this is almost silly, but it was such a meaningful thing for me. I'm going to bring up a rare boyhood story. I played on a team that won a county championship, and the next year, this group thought it was all that, came back, lost the first game of the season, and the coach went wild. Coach went absolutely wild. We won the next 11 games and then lost in a tournament at the end. So I believe in that first loss. That's me.
As long as they bounce back.
They got to bounce back. Yeah, Lee's right.
That's a way to get people's attention.
Lee's right, though. It's insane. They got to go win them all. Win all 17. And Sage, maybe he'll get a Super Bowl ring next time. Ira, where's your Super Bowl ring? What is with the Glazers not giving you a ring as the elder statesman of Buccaneers lore?
They go into the amphitheater. It's not like it's a cramped closet
where's
over
Ira's
here.
Where's Ira's ring, Lee?
I didn't say I needed a
Where's
ring.
Where's your replica ring?
I said I need to get in there and at least see the premises and write about it. No, absolutely not.
And you went to the very top.
I went as far to the tippity-tippity top. I didn't go to Ed Glazer. Next time I'm going to Ed Glazer.
Well, he lost his poll last November.
All right,
Ira. You know what? This just tells us the fact that you didn't get a Super Bowl ring tells us that the place in town where you really are held in the highest regard is not at One Buck Palace. It's at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan understands the magic of Ira, and he's a great supporter of all things JoeBucksFan.com. Before you shop anywhere else, very simple. Just call Sean Sullivan. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Ira will be back later in the week whenever you finish your makeup. Oh, you've got your big health test coming up. Good luck, Ira.
I always talk
about this every year when you go for your test. So start sprinting, tie your shoes, and we'll see you next time.